know that there isn't a God, let's say. But then you might point out, well, there is a question about whether it's rational to believe that there is. I mean, you make the point to somebody, you might say, do you think it's rational to believe that Oberon, King of the Fairies, exists? And that person might say, well, perhaps not. Although, of course, there is always the case of the lady who was asked whether she believed in leprechauns, and she said she did not, but they're there anyway. You know, so there is that option open to people. You say, if you think that you have, that it's rational to say that there is no such thing as Oberon, King of the Fairies, well, then exactly the same standards of reasoning might be applied with respect to Zeus or Odin or any other candidate for existence. It's not a question of whether you know or don't know that such a thing exists, but whether it's rational to believe it, whether it's rational to base other judgments and actions on it, whether you can premise it in further reasoning. And that is what a critical evaluation of one's knowledge should provide us with, the rational, the capacity for rational judgment. Another thing that's tremendously important in the acquisition of critical thinking skills is a good appreciation of the relation between thought and language and how we express our thoughts in language. It's a contested area, this, but there is a lot to be said for the point that Ludwig Wittgenstein mentions, and every time a philosopher gives a lecture, he has to mention Wittgenstein, so I've just done it. What Wittgenstein says about the inability to have thoughts of a certain complexity unless you possess language. So he says of a dog owned by the Lord Mayor of London, he says the dog may expect his master home because at 5 o'clock every day the wicker gate squeaks and the dog knows that his master's coming home. But, says Wittgenstein, you cannot say of the dog that he knows that the Lord Mayor of London is just about to come home. Why not? Well, because not possessing language, or at least not possessing more than a rather rudimentary language which can recognise food and walk and so on, the dog cannot have that thought. So, as I say, that's debatable, that's contestable, but there is something that lies behind it, the idea that being able to think things through, and especially to be able to think clearly about things, you do need to be able to articulate them clearly. And so it may very well be the case that if somebody can't express something, then perhaps the thought that they have, the idea in the mind, is itself not very clear. Now, we know that languages change, languages evolve. The more ancient a language is, the simpler its grammar tends to be. One of the most ancient continuous languages in the world is Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, and it has a very simple grammatical structure, although it retains an enormous amount of expressive power. Very wonderful poetic conceits can be expressed in this language. But it still matters that people should be able to use language logically. I want to give you an example. Some bus services in London recently underwent a few changes, and a sign was put up in the bus to explain these changes to people. And at the end of the notice was the following sentence: so, the buses run smoother and there are less delays. And since I would always sit in the same seat and read this, I have to read this sign over and over again and to suffer the agonies of that sentence that's been imprinted on my cerebral cortices. The buses run smoother. Now, this was a notice about the bus services, which they alleged ran more smoothly, you know, just the comparative adverb rather than comparative adjective there. And it wasn't about the suspension on the buses, which were just as bad as they had been before. So the buses weren't running smoother, but the services were running more smoothly. So that was one thing. And the other thing was there were less delays. Well, the vanishing of the distinction between less and fewer is one that is of concern to those of us who think that clear thought requires clear expression. Less applies to stuffs like butter and water. Fewer applies to things you can count. And it makes a difference which you use. No doubt, of course, that distinction is now not in the language any longer. It was vanishing very, very fast. But it's a pity because it is a logical distinction and it marks an important distinction, a fact out there in the world. So one challenge that you would issue to people who want to be good thinkers is that they be clear and accurate users of the language, because thought and language do run pari passu in that way, and it's very important, therefore, that people should be reflective about the language they use. And that's a familiar enough thought.